In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the third Sunday of the Holy 50 days, and we just listened to the Gospel from St. John, telling us about the Samaritan woman and her meeting with the Lord Christ, and how she came to believe in Him at the end, and this was a turning point in her life. So today we are going to continue what we started discussing 2 weeks ago about unbelievers or believers. And we said that religion is when I'm convinced with something, I live by what this religion is teaching me, and also I try to promote it to others because I know and I believe that this is the way that would make the people more content and also are able to find their way to eternal life. In the age we live in, there is another religion that's spreading without giving it a name. It's the religion of doubt, where people are doubtful of everything, but they are content of being doubtful. When someone is not sure of anything, then this person will come and ask, or at least he will feel uncomfortable that I don't know. But when a person, he does not know and doesn't want to know, and he wants everyone around him or her to be as doubtful as himself or herself, then doubt becomes a religion. And this is what we face in our workplace, our schools, where people around our children, they try always to make them to doubt. They do not give them answers. They just throw questions that they expect that they have no answer for it, and they are okay with it, that they live by this kind of confusion. And we spoke about the doctrine of this religion. We said most of those people, they claim that they are Christians. This is the start in any discussion. I am a Christian, and then they continue by but, and then everything else that comes afterward, it's just like defying the first proclamation that I am a Christian. So we spoke about many of their doctrines, and we will continue today with the doctrine number 9, also one of the things or the beliefs that people try to make us by which to doubt our belief system. The doctrine of those doubtful people says, we are all sinners, like fornicators, homosexuals, etc. And God came to the sinners because He loves them. So what is the big deal? Why is the big fuss? Why the church is warning her people over and over from these sins? And at the end of the day, they are all equal. There is no sins who are heavier and one other ones that lighter than others. There are here some points we have to be aware if we are engaged in a discussion like this. The first point is, sinners are all the same in a certain way, yes, but when they admit they are sinners. Meaning, if I come to you and I say that homosexuality is not a sin, this is how God created the people, then this is a different debate. I'm here trying to convince you that God created certain people in a certain way. The question that should come to our minds is, how God will condemn someone while He created him to be like this? How God will say in the Bible that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God, and then He create people born as gays. So this is the first point. God is not going to condemn His creation if He truly created them as such. The second point is, yes, all sins can lead to perdition if not repented, but yes, there is differences between them. In which way? A person with a pneumonia, if not treated, may end up like with serious complications and may lose his or her life. And a person with cancer also is liable for the same end. Even though both illnesses, if not treated, will lead us to the same place, the same fatal end, but they are not equal. The treatment of this is different than this. We all know this, that if someone has a problem like cancer, it's a long-term therapy, It's very difficult, and this person will has to incur a lot of pain and suffering while in the process. So we cannot just underestimate the sin of immorality and speak as they are all the same. Simply, the treatment is different. The suffering to get rid of them is different. Yes, if untreated, we will end up in the same place. We have to discern, otherwise people will try to make us to hold the scale, but this scale is not accurate, is not true. Be careful in a discussion like this. First, we are all sinners, yes, but meanwhile, know the difference between every other sin. The tenth belief system of those doubtful people concerning the Bible, and this is the biggest one. Why? Because the Bible is the reference. If there is no reference, then there is no right and wrong. If the Bible is attacked and the people made us to doubt what is in the Bible, that's it. Then everything goes, simply because everyone will have his own Bible. I will just mention what is common sayings from those people who are doubting the Bible and try to make us to doubt the Bible even while claiming that they are Christians. They say about the Bible, it's a good book that includes some good teachings. Yes, it's beneficial, and some of the verses are good, we can learn and live by. Not meant to be believed literally. There are certain things that we should believe, others, it's just like a story, a fable, that was not truly what God said. It's an addition that came to the Bible through ages. People are just communicating a story after a story, and then they end up with a different book. They say that it includes fables that no one can believe. And they say, how can you convince anyone that the sea can be divided, or a person can spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the big fish or a great fish like Jonah? Some people say, I like some of the verses, but really I dislike other verses. Even if they don't say this clearly, but you can find this theme in many churches. They teach certain things, they focus on certain principles in the Bible, and they ignore many others. Something like the cross, repentance, all of these are not now favored by contemporary people who wants to hear things that's pleasing and encouraging, as they understand what is encouragement for themselves is. Sometimes people think of the Bible that it apply as it pleases. I understand it this way, I apply it this way, it is good with me, then it's up to you to decide how you understand or apply the Bible. We cannot say that there is a universal understanding. This is what they say. And the last common saying about the Bible, make us to doubt the Bible, is right and wrong are not clearly defined in it. Right and wrong is something that differs according to the age that we live in, according to the tradition, and according to where we come from. All of these things, sometimes people try to support it by the biblical criticism. But here, by logic, I'm not going to go deeply into defending the Bible. But let us go by logic. If there is a God, and this God is going to judge everyone, and this is what everyone agrees on, if there is no reference that is credible, if the author of the Bible was not able to maintain it and keep it without change, how he's going to judge us at the end? Wouldn't this make him an unfair judge? Imagine in your school, they give you a book at the beginning of the year, and they say there is a test at the end of the year. And then after the book was issued, someone will come, collect all of the books, make another edition that includes facts that are not right, are not true, and then give it to all of the students to study from. And the school knew about this. Do you think that any school that has some kind of respect to itself would come at the end of the year knowing that no one from the students is holding the right book and then still run the test? It doesn't make any sense. If God is going to judge everyone, He will make sure that whatever is in our hand is credible. Otherwise, the whole judgment thing falls. The whole theory about there is a God and there is eternity will be something that's hoax. God could not defend His word. He could not keep it safe. Another thing is, who altered what in the Bible? The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is kept by the Jews as sacred. This is the text they believe in. We believe in the Old and the New Testament. So which part exactly was altered? If we speak about the Old Testament was altered, it's unimaginable. The Jews will never do this, and for what reason? The conflict between them and the Christians is not in the text. It is in understanding who the Messiah is and still waiting for Him. We cannot, of course, as Christians, bring all of the Old Testament copies and change them to point at Christ in every single book of the Old Testament. The Jews wouldn't allow us to do this. If we change it to the New Testament, we wrote it in a certain way. How this is exactly what is written in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament? It doesn't make any sense that anyone will make stories, that stories will fit a prophecy that applied on the Lord Christ. Many will come and say, this never happened. The basic fact is the resurrection. If He didn't rise, this religion is born dead. No one is going to embrace it. Just the high priest and the scribes will say, never happened. Those people are a bunch of liars. And this is the end of the story. So even without going into the details of how the Bible is the Word of God, an incredible source of us to know the will of God, by logic, there should be a book. If you don't believe the Bible is the book, then find the book. If you say, I don't believe everything in the Bible is credible, then find for yourself the book and adopt it as your belief and live by. But saying that there is no book that we can trust, neither the Bible nor any other book, is just saying that there is a God who is a judge and He set a judgment, and meanwhile He didn't leave us any writings or a book that we can trust to live by. We be judged accordingly. If you are a Christian, the Bible for you is the book that we hold as sacred. We believe in it from cover to cover. We believe it is literally the Word of God with no change, and we submit to its teachings because this is exactly how God wants us to live. The point after this, the 11th point, I'm not sure if I can finish it all today or not. Maybe next week I'll finish the topic. It's concerning the church. The Bible is the book, and the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. That's why the church is harshly criticized by those doubticians, those people who are embracing doubt as a religion. Among their teachings about the church, who knows what the right church is? Maybe God meant it to be like this. Meaning, God wanted diversity, and that's why every church is holding its own dogma and belief system, and this is the will of God. This is how we are different. Let me explain something when it comes to this. Diversity is exactly like the differences between the members of the body. The hand is not like the feet, and the feet is not like the eye. This is diversity. But what is in common among all of them, they are all governed by one mind. You cannot imagine that the hand is receiving a signal from a mind and your eyes is receiving another signal from another mind. Your mind cannot say something and contradict it in the next sentence. A church says baptism is the way we are united with Christ, is essential for your salvation. Another church says this is just a sign, a declaration of your faith. A church says this is the body and the blood of Christ literally, as He said. Another church says it's just a symbol. It cannot be that this church and this church are right. So the alternatives we have are one of three. Either all are wrong, all the churches are wrong. No one church is right. We go back into the problem with the Bible. If all of the churches are wrong, then God did not leave us His body, the pillar and foundation of the truth that can explain to us what is right and what is wrong. We cannot accept this on intellectual basis. The second one, all of them are right, and it cannot go like this, because simply the differences are great. Differences are between, we have an altar, another church do not have an altar. There is no way we can reconcile all of this under the claim that is diversity. Then we are left with one option. There is a church that we still call it the Holy One Apostolic Church. We don't call it based on whom we are. This is the Coptic Church, this is that church. No, there is that church as God meant it to be, as He intended for her to carry the truth to all nations, to the end of time. The search should be always, where is this church? How can we find this? If we trace history, go back in history, we find that there was a church that everyone in this church, they lived in different locations, they have the same belief system. Those in Rome, like those in Jerusalem, like those in Alexandria, Constantinople, Antioch. So there wasn't a time in history where this church existed. Everyone believed the same. Everyone hold the same belief system. They have bishops, and they have priests, they have deacons, and they have sacraments, and they baptize children. They all did the same, with no division or schism till the year 451. This church also was the closest to the time of Christ. People were witnesses to Him and His disciples, and the disciples of His disciples. So if we can now try to find this church, we go back in history, we examine ourselves against them, and this will tell us. When all people believed the same, this was their belief system. This is the first thing that people tried to convince us with. There is no church. Church is just any group of people. They sit together, it becomes the church of God. But this is not the truth. This is an idea that people try to make us to believe. So at the end of the day, there is no reference, there is no church that can explain for us the Bible. I will have to stop here and continue next time because of the time. May the Lord grant us wisdom to understand and discern what is the truth. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.